great to everyone, to see everyone this Easter morning. Looks a little rainy out there, but hopefully it'll stop and the kids can have a good time this afternoon. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in the book of John, verse 20. I'm sorry, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. As a very zealous, soul-winning young preacher, he came upon a farmer who was working in his field. Being concerned about the farmer's soul, the preacher asked the man, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" Not even looking at the preacher, continuing his work, the farmer replied, "Nah, these are soybeans." "You don't understand," said the preacher. "Are you a Christian?" With about the same amount of interest or lack of it as his previous answer, the farmer said to him, "Nope, my name is Jones." "You must be looking for Jim Christian. He lives about a mile south from here." The young determined preacher asked the farmer, "Are you lost?" "Nah, I lived here all my life," he replied back. He said, "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" The frustrated preacher finally said. That caught the farmer's attention, and he said, "When's it going to be?" Thinking he had accomplished something, the young preacher replied, "It could be today, could be tomorrow, or it could be the next day." Taking a handkerchief out of his back pocket and wiping his brow, the farmer remarked, "Well, don't mention it to my wife. She don't get out much. She'll want to go all 3 days." You know, we look at the resurrection sometimes, and we people see it, and they think that, you know, Easter is the time that you come to church, that and Christmas. But the resurrection is something that we live each and every day of our lives. And it consumes the Christian's life each and every day. Because without that resurrection, we don't have salvation, and without salvation, we don't stand a chance. Every Sunday morning, we pay homage and we remember our Lord and His sacrifice at the table and what He did for us. And then we praise Him because He rose. He rose victorious over that grave, and we have that chance too. Let's start out with a scenario this morning, because we want to look at a few things here. But firstly, let's read our text. We're looking at the empty tomb. We're looking at Easter Sunday. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciples ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first." Of course, talking about John, he was the beloved one. "And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered there then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. So, we see three different reactions to that empty tomb. One was John, the beloved disciple of Christ. One was Peter. And of course, the other was Mary. You know, let's start out with a scenario this morning. Let's say that every day a gentleman goes to work. Every day he would ride the elevator all the way to the bottom floor of the high-rise apartment that he lived in. When he came home from work, he would ride that elevator back up to the sixth floor. Then he would take the stairs to his apartment many stories higher in the building. He did this every day unless it was raining. If it was raining, he would ride the elevator all the way to the floor of his apartment. Why? You know, why would this man do such a strange thing? Or another man. Or, you know, there's someone lying on the floor dead. There's broken glass and water all around this dead, we'll call her Anne. And so Stuart's asleep on the couch, seeming oblivious to what has occurred. How did Anne die? We don't know that. It's a mystery. You ever play those kind of mind games, or you're presented with a scene, or you have to figure it out? Or to make the scene the way by asking questions only to be answered with yes or no? Just so you won't try to figure out the rest of the morning what really happened in these two scenarios, I'll give you the answers to them. In the first one, the reason the gentleman would only go to the sixth floor on his return home from work was because he was that was the highest button he could reach on the elevator control panel. He was a very short man. On the days that it rained, he had his umbrella with him, and he could use it to punch the button that indicated his floor all the way to the top. So you see, what seemed like a strange thing, to only take the elevator all the way up to his floor when it rained, is now explained, and we understand it. Or in the second scenario, it might help you to know that Anne is a fish, and that Stuart is a cat. And the glass and the water all around and on the floor is from their fishbowl that Stuart has successfully knocked over. So we see how easy, once we know what the story means, we can explain it. And we understand the scripture, and we understand what Jesus did for us. But to those people who first came on the scene and seen this, this was just as much as a mystery as these two little scenarios before. So we'll try one more. On Friday night, a man dies. He's buried on the same night. On Sunday morning, some friends arrive at the tomb where he's buried to pay their last respects and discover that his body is gone. What happened? That is the situation that we read about in 1 John 20. So early in the morning, a group of women approached the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. There had not been sufficient time after his crucifixion to properly prepare for his burial. Remember, they just kind of put him in there. The Sabbath was approaching, and they couldn't work on the Sabbath. So they just had to put him in the tomb for now. They did put some incense around him, or myrrh, or whatever, and whatever they did to mask smells, and then wrapped him around in the cloth. But not much more. You know, you can imagine that as they approached it, they probably thought, well, who's going to roll away that big stone for us? But in spite of that obstacle, they kept going. And then when they got to the tomb, it wasn't how they expected it. They found that the soldiers that guarded the tomb, you know, were gone. That the stone was rolled away. They walked past the garden setting and walked and entered the tomb where his body had been laid. When they got there, they found the body gone. Suddenly, two angels appeared and proclaimed to them that Jesus had arisen. The angel told them to go and tell the disciples. And that's exactly what they did, from Luke 24, 4 through 6. When they got there, they all caught their breath for a moment and then began excitedly to tell what they had seen and heard. But the men didn't believe it. It sounded like a bunch of gibberish to them. They thought they were hysterical or something, from Luke 24, 11. You know, the guards were gone. You know, Roman guards don't run away from anything. If they run away from something, they're under penalty of death. Big stones rolled away. Pilate's seal was broken. But it was enough of a story to intrigue John and Peter to go to the tombs for themselves. So John, Peter, and Mary head off to the tomb to figure out what had happened that day. There was an empty tomb. No doubt that part of the woman's story was true. But what they needed to decide for themselves and personally, what we all need to decide for ourselves personally today, is why that tomb was empty and why it's important. You know, first we look at John, the believer. He was the first to arrive at the tomb. When John heard the news, he jumped up and ran like the wind to the tomb. He wanted to believe. He loved Jesus. Of all the disciples, he had been the most faithful. He had been in the courtyard when Jesus was interrogated and sentenced to die. He had been at the foot of the cross when Jesus hung there dying. He was willing to take Jesus' mother into his home and care for her. He was so excited about the possibility that Jesus might actually be alive that he ran faster than everyone else. Maybe he stayed outside because he had to catch his breath from the long run. Maybe he was afraid or something like that. What if Mary was wrong and Jesus' body had been moved to another part of the grave? He didn't want to see Jesus as he would look from the torture and the crucifixion he went through. What if once he and Peter were inside the tomb, guards who had been hiding for some reason suddenly appeared? It could be that this was an elaborate trap set to capture his disciples. You know, they wouldn't have wanted those pesky disciples to carry on Jesus' work. So there could have been that fear in their hearts. After a few minutes, Peter arrives at the tomb. Peter walks right in. Of course, we know Peter, he's kind of impetuous. He kind of takes off before he thinks. So he walks right into that tomb without hesitating, and everything is just as Mary had described it. He looked around, and he left. He left, you know, not knowing what had happened there. They all saw the evidence, but they had different responses to it. John saw and he believed the possibilities that Christ could have risen from the dead, that exactly what he said happened, and that we can stand today and each and every Sunday and come together and celebrate that and take joy and happiness in that, knowing that we serve a risen Savior, as we sang this morning, the song, that we serve a risen Savior. We don't follow a philosopher who's dead and buried. We don't follow Confucius. We don't follow Plato or Aristotle. We don't follow any of those people. We follow someone that has defeated death and has risen again and promises a kingdom of heaven to us and that we'll defeat death too. You know, there are many people like John today. We believe because there's an empty tomb. And because there's a testimony of Christians who were there throughout the centuries that said he was alive. We don't need to see to believe. We join with John in being the ones that who Jesus spoke of in only a few verses. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John 20:29. John reacted to the empty tomb with belief. Now Peter, kind of being skeptical, he was a little slower than John to arrive at the tomb. Maybe because John was younger than Peter or whatever, or maybe it's because all those years of fishing had given Peter arthritis and he suffered a lot. Or maybe he was too afraid of what he might find. He wasn't afraid of soldiers so much. He whacked off the ear of one that tried to take Jesus. Peter wanted to see Jesus, but there was a part of him that probably dreaded the idea. Last time he looked at Jesus, Peter had denied him 3 times. The shame he must have felt for doing that, for abandoning his friend, for denying his friend. If Peter saw Jesus, he knew he was going to be confronted with his sin and guilt. He wasn't sure if he could handle that. Peter's vision was clouded by the pain he felt over his past. He wanted Jesus to be alive, but he didn't know how he was going to be able to face him. And maybe there are people like that today. You want to believe, but there's too much history. You've got too much pain, like the woman who refused to respond to Jesus' pleading to accept his love. It's just too difficult to believe that Jesus' resurrection could wipe away all that pain. You know, people reject Jesus for various reasons. You know, they don't want to give their lives, they don't want to be too involved. They don't want or they don't believe they can be forgiven. They don't believe that their sins can be forgiven. They just don't want to believe that someone could love them that much. But Jesus forgives, and Jesus loves, and Jesus can heal everything that we have. Peter went in and examined the evidence for himself. He saw all around him. He knew something was happened there. But it wasn't enough to convince him, because Peter left, scratching his head and wondering what had happened. Luke 24:12. He needed more evidence. Peter just left the tomb. Mary, the brokenhearted, Mary was the one who believed. Mary was the one who washed Jesus' feet with her hair. She so totally believed in the message that he brought, in the salvation. And she was there when she needed to be, to hear his words. When Peter and John left, she stayed. The angel asked a very good question. The angel asked, "Why are you crying? Whom do you seek?" It was still dark. That not only talks about the fact that the sun hadn't risen yet, it talks about the condition of their hearts. It was the deepest, darkest time of their life. Could you imagine following someone who promised all this, who promised and said they were the Messiah? And of course, in their confusion, they believed there was going to be an earthly kingdom. And then to have this happen, to have all their hopes and dreams dashed by Jesus' crucifixion. It was truly a dark time in their hearts. When she had met Jesus, you know, she was enslaved by 7 demons. Jesus had to cast the demons out. Jesus freed her from that burden. Then she found peace with him in that. She had a long history with Jesus, even more than some of the disciples. You know, they followed him. He told them to follow him, and they followed. But she was actually healed of her infirmities by him, of those demons. So, people have different reactions to seeing Christ or to hearing about Christ. You know, Jesus appeared to her, and then she truly knew what was going on then. She truly knew that he had risen just as he had said. John, he left with a hope in his heart that what was true was true. And many people have just that. They want to believe in God just a little bit, so just in case he actually really does exist, that maybe he'll take some mercy on their hearts. That was kind of like John. He wanted to believe, but he just wasn't sure. And there are those who just, they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe that God would love us that much and do that much for us. They don't want to give in to that gospel tug that says, "Come and follow me and you'll have freedom, you'll have joy, you'll have everlasting life." And then there's Mary, who stayed there and was rewarded by seeing Jesus. You know, everyone here is like one of those 3 witnesses of the empty tomb. You know, all 3 of them had been told what had happened that day. Mary had been told by the angels, and Peter and John had been told by the other women. All 3 saw the same tomb examined the evidence, and all three had different reactions. Many of us are like John. We see that empty tomb and we believe. Jesus said, "You're blessed. Rejoice that Jesus is alive today. It means that you'll live with him eternally and you'll overcome death." Some of you are like Peter. You see the empty tomb and you don't know what to believe. There's something going on, but you don't know what it is. You say, "I don't understand all this religion stuff. I don't understand why people are willing to give up every Sunday morning, give up their sleep and free time to come to church." There's only one way that you will ever understand, and that is to stick around. You know, not just on Easter, not just on Sunday, but stick around in God's Word. Stick around in your prayer room, talking to God. Make God your friend. Make Jesus your Savior. Make Him your Lord and Savior. And talk to Him. And listen to Him from His Word. Each and every day of the week, if you stay a long time, you'll be rewarded. You know, some are like Mary. You see the empty tomb, you see the change in people's lives, and you think that there has got to be some practical explanation to what has happened. You know, she kind of didn't believe either, and she hung around. She was pondering and wondering and, you know, what was going on. But she hung around long enough to have her questions answered and her faith grown. Maybe that's you today. Either you're not quite sure about what happened on that day, or more likely, you're not sure what happened on the day on that day's impact on your life, what it means to you. You ask, what does it all mean in this life? Or what does it all mean to me, more specifically? Since Jesus is alive, Jesus can be to you all those things that Mary thought she had lost. Her relief from the sin, the peace and forgiveness, and a sense of purpose, and a leader like Christ. Maybe you're ready to believe in Jesus today. Maybe you've had your prayers answered. And today, like Mary, you've seen Jesus all around you and the people that you see everywhere. If that's you, then that's why we call you to come forward when we sing. But if you're not ready to believe today, at least do this. Hang around. Hang around in God's Word. Hang around in prayer. Hang around in all those things. And then you'll see that Jesus is truly our Lord and Savior. That nothing has ever been written, nothing has ever been proven to show that that tomb was not empty for the reason that it is empty. That tomb is empty because Christ was rose on that day. On the first day of the week, he defeated death. He rose to live again. And for 2,000 years since, people have been having all these different reactions to him. Rejection, wonderment, half-hearted commitment to him. Then there's people who truly believe. And then those with a little bit more convincing who come to believe. You know, we're all different. It all takes a little bit something different to bring us to the cross. Some, you know, events in our past may have caused us to come to the cross. We may have been born into the church and learned it on the way up. But we're all here for a reason. We may have fit one of these people, but we're here. But I challenge you that each and every day we work so that we drive those doubts out of our hearts. That we remove any doubt and replace it with faith. There still is an empty tomb. They've never been able to produce Jesus' body. Nothing anyone has ever produced to say that Jesus didn't exist. To the contrary, there's more evidence, and even secular evidence, that Jesus existed than Julius Caesar. So there you have it. You have to confront Jesus. You have to deal with Jesus on some level. Everyone has to confront that empty tomb this morning. Hopefully, they'll make the right decision towards that. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your needs may be, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?